This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is David Gardenstein-Ross, who is the director of the Center for the Study of Terrorist Radicalization at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on a debate that has been has gone around several times now and reappeared once again this week about how to define our enemy in the war on terror. And should we even call it the war on terror? And David, as always, great to have you with us.
And it's good to join you, Greg.
Well, this, of course, erupted last year when Janet Napolitano, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, said that terrorist incidents were man-made disasters and a war on terror was overseas contingency. More recently, though, the Obama administration under fire for removing any reference to Islam in terms of whether or not we're fighting Islamic radicals, which is obviously a factor in who we're fighting, but they don't think that's helpful. What do you make of this controversy? How important is it to define who we're fighting?
Well, specifically, the removal of the term Islamic radicalism and the like came in the administration's national security strategy. But one can witness a change in rhetoric throughout the entirety of the Obama administration. Now, I should say at the outset that by no means do I think that the Bush administration's rhetoric was perfect. I think that in many ways, the Bush administration rhetoric did end up making the administration seem callous, swaggering, and the like. So the Obama administration has been responding to that perception of the Bush administration rhetoric and trying to build bridges and engage in engage the world much more. However, I think that its rhetoric has been going to the opposite extreme. It's a rhetoric that's very much cleansed of any reference to what the ideology of the groups that we're fighting might be. And there are costs to doing that as well. I don't think you're necessarily going to get perfect rhetoric in this area, but I do think the Obama administration has gone to the other extreme of the Bush administration, and that in doing so, a lot becomes lost, including clarity of discussion, and also, I think, internally, clarity of thought as to what the problem we face is suffers as well.
David, how hard is it to do both of what the Obama administration says it wants to do here, build bridges to the more moderate Islamic world, and at the same time, accurately define who we're fighting?
I think that, you know, it's difficult, but I also do think that the Obama administration is much more obsessively focused on language than they need to be. If you look at the Arabic language press, for example, they refer to the jihadi movement as being the jihadi movement. They don't avoid use of the term jihad, contrary to what the Obama administration is trying to do. I think there's a very micro focus on language and an avoidance of using terms like Islam when one can much more easily cast these things as the national security strategy did previously. And this is not a direct quote, but previously the national security strategy had framed the problem set as being something like violent extremism by terrorist groups who claim inspiration from their own distorted version of Islam. It was something like that, which made clear, A, where this inspiration is coming from, i.e., that they look to Islam for their inspiration, while B, at the same time, making clear that it's not the U.S.'s view that this represents all of what Islam is. So I think one can use these words without making it come across as though the United States is engaged in a wholesale war against Islam. And I think, personally, that the public messaging we use, I'm much less concerned about the public messaging than about how this is understood inside the halls of government. And that's where we get into something that you referred to a little bit obliquely at the outset of this interview, which is a new report published by the Washington Institute of Near East Policy called Fighting the Ideological Battle, in which they make the argument. It's not a full-blown critique of the Obama administration's rhetoric, but it certainly makes the argument that the recognition of the importance of ideology is not a big part of what the Obama administration has in its counterterrorism strategy, and they argue that that's a significant blind spot. I certainly agree with that. And when your public messaging tries to cleanse language, avoid using terms like Islam or other terms that they are afraid could come across as offensive, then you end up losing a clarity of thought internally as well, especially when it's the case that even under the Bush administration, people would often give short shrift to terrorist ideology in ways that were harmful to our overall understanding.
And David, and you pointed this out a moment ago, the groups themselves that we're at war against are very clear about why they're doing what they're doing. They cite their faith all the time. So why would a simple reference to that in passing and describing who we're fighting make a big difference?
Right. The key thing is just making sure that you don't come across as agreeing that these groups have the right interpretation. And the reason I say that is because if you look at al-Qaeda's rhetoric and the rhetoric of al-Qaeda affiliates, they will say time and time again that what they represent is the true vision of Islam, that all other Muslims who don't participate within the jihadist movement have corrupted versions of the faith. The one thing we don't want to do, and the Obama administration has been clear in this, and I do agree with them, is that you don't want to cede that theological ground to the extremists. You don't want to cede to them that they are actually correct in the rhetoric. But just as long as you're careful about that, just as long as you don't cede that ground, because that's an important ideological battle that does have to be fought, then I think that you can do just fine. And I think that, indeed, when a group is explicit time and time again as to where they're drawing their inspiration from, you can't ignore that. Everybody knows where they get it from. In the Muslim world, people know where al-Qaeda claims that it gets its inspiration from. That's not a secret. And by avoiding it, you don't look strong, and you don't look more clear than the previous administration. You actually look rather confused. And indeed, I've spoken to and seen Obama administration officials speak who are so, in my view, obsessed with language that they just come across as being very, very confused on these issues. No, by no means, I should add, is that universal. There are many administration officials who I think are very adept, very bright, and the like. But I do think it can have a confusing effect upon people.
Real quickly, before we let you go, David, what's the smartest policy moving forward, whether it's about rhetoric or communication with other countries, communication within the government? What's the most important thing?
Look, this is, as to what the most important thing is, this is a difficult subject matter. This is by no means easy. I do think that, though, that having a rhetoric that doesn't go to the other extreme of the Bush administration, and having a rhetoric that doesn't try to cleanse itself of any kind of reference to what the inspiration is that these groups claims, that is a healthy direction to move in. And while I don't expect the Obama administration to move in that direction, I certainly hope that either it or a future administration will do so.
David, as always, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time and your insight.
Good to join you.
David Gardenstein-Ross is the director of the Center for the Study of Terrorist Radicalization at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.